Alright guys, we're gonna try a picture on this. Let's get everybody one, please. Alright guys, pictures up.
Pictures up!
Pictures up!
Let's roll sound.
Rolling!
Rolling!
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set.
And action!
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Waited specifically for when Penn had his mouth full of food. My man, how you doing?
I hear people talk about like what they do when they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I can't relate.
You've never been hungry?
No. No. If I start feeling hungry, I eat something. I don't understand what this thing is of not eating.
Of not eating?
Yes.
Well. To be fair, you also run like 700 miles, so you can eat whatever you want.
I guess. Yeah. No, I'm good, man. I am psyched. I am so psyched.
Yeah.
This is a big week.
It is a big week.
Thursday night, my book launch.
Oh, my.
7 p.m. word. At the Highland Presbyterian Church. It's going to be a party. What's up?
Oh, my word.
I mean, it's not going to be a party like the Penn Cinema podcast.
Now that's a party.
Now that's a party. Nothing is a party like the Penn Cinema podcast.
Right.
But right. It's going to be a good time. It'll be a good time. I'm almost like emotional about it.
Yeah?
I'm worried I'm going to stand up and start crying. Did you know I'm a crier?
I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if you remember we watched Angel Has Fallen together.
Do you get emotional when you drink out of your metallic mug?
All the time. It brings back the memories.
You're sipping your iced tea from your tin cup.
And then I remember the struggle to change the lid.
Dad.
Oh, man. Hey, all right. Big things happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone celebrated a birthday.
What's up? It was me.
It was you. Oh, my word.
It was me all along.
Who would have thought? Was 21?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. So, I mean, top of the show.
All right.
I got you. I went out and I said, what doesn't Penn need?
Right.
And that was my goal.
That's what this is?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah. And then I used all of the stuffing that came with the stuffing I bought, so there's plenty of it.
I can't. All right, I'm going to start here. I can't wait to watch this.
I know. You've never seen it before?
No, it's a DVD, Blu-ray thing.
No, it's just DVD. It's just lowest format I could find.
It's DVD of Greta.
Yeah.
Which, according to the box, is a riveting nail biter.
Yeah.
And it stars Isabella Huppert and Chloe Grace Moretz. I bet you this movie's awesome.
Yeah, I know that you haven't seen it before. Right.
I bet this is really great.
The movie that keeps on giving.
That's really sweet.
Wildly entertaining, according to the back.
That's really sweet, David. I appreciate that. Now, you know what's neat is this DVD includes deleted scenes and Greta. Enemies and friends.
Whoa, an in-depth look. In case the movie was not deep enough for you to begin with.
But that's not it. That's more not, in my birthday bag.
There's more. Okay.
This might be the best thing I've ever gotten in my life. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I'm speechless. Oh my God. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I don't even know how to describe this. It is I'll describe it by saying it is a model of a balloon. Like, you know how they make balloon animals?
Yeah.
So somebody made a balloon dog taking a balloon dump, a balloon poop. But it's not a real balloon. It's like a model.
Yeah. Like a, it's like a I don't know, PVC, plastic. It looks like it could be a real balloon, though.
It's the greatest addition to my desk since the fisherman bobblehead Marley got me when she was six.
I was like, I really hope this gets on the desk.
100% going on the desk. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're killing me.
Well, happy birthday. You don't always turn 21.
No, that's it. Big year. Big year for me. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gosh, this... And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on. I don't... There's nothing left to say.
Nothing left to say.
My day is complete.
If there was one more gift that I could give you, it would probably be how I'm going to open up the news this week.
Thank you. Please.
Yeah.
Hit me.
I don't know if you're familiar with the amazing blockbuster film starring John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
You could only be talking about Face Off.
Yeah, because I'm going to take your face off. They're remaking this movie.
Thank God.
I know.
Thank God.
I know. Just when you thought, man, I mean, now with today's digital age.
Life is good, but it could get a little better. If only there was a new Face Off movie.
For me to look forward to. Right? If only it's still... Starred the same actors.
Now, what are we saying? Are we saying who do we know cast? God, you're not saying Travolta and Cage. No, that's
it. Would
have
been crazy if it was a sequel of some sort, and then he had to face off again.
Yeah, face. No, it would be called Face Back On.
Oh! It's like in the. I remember watching the movie, and they didn't explain how like the rest of their body clearly changed, like right. to be shorter and skinnier, vice versa.
I like when people put on sunglasses in the movies, and then nobody can recognize them.
Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, I try it every day. I put on my sunglasses and hope nobody recognizes me.
Family's always like, "Hey, Dad!
Hey, Dad! What's up?"
It's not me.
How'd you know?
Yeah. Okay. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean that is some news.
That's hard hitting journalism. I appreciate what lengths you obviously went to dig that up.
I mean, huge. Big time. Tell me about what you got going on.
I got actual news.
Oh, real news?
I don't know how to describe this news. This is news that I can't tell you. I got a secret, and I'm going to keep it secret until November 2nd.
Oh, my goodness.
Saturday night, November 2nd, I will tell you my secret.
Yeah.
The secret is I know who won the Red Rose Film Festival. I know the best picture because the selection committee, of which I'm on, as chairman of the board.
Whoa.
Shout out to my team there. We met today, went through all the final selections.
Oh.
So I know all the films that were selected for the Red Rose Film Festival, and I can tell you, they are amazing. They're really, really good.
So you know the movies that are selected, but you also know who won.
I also know there was 5 nominees in the category of Best Feature, Best Short, Best Documentary, Best Student Film, Best Local Film.
Best
Buy. I know all those nominees. And I am beside myself. What'd you say?
Best Buy.
Best Buy, right.
I was wondering if you're going to catch it.
David, I'm doing something over here.
Trying to be serious. Come on.
Give me 1 second. I'm almost done with the big boy.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
I don't know. So, yeah. So, it's cool. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited.
No, it's big news.
I mean, it is kind of cool. It was really exciting. We looked at each other and we're like, okay.
It's done.
That's the winner.
Wow.
So, the rest of the world's just going to have to wait in anticipation. But I can tell you that I thoroughly support, and I think everybody, I'm pretty sure it was a unanimous. It was unanimous. Everybody was on board. What we did was the films were rated through like numerical ratings.
Yeah.
But a lot of the highest ones were either tied or they were like within a point of each other.
Mm.
So there was a little bit of discussion.
Yeah.
You know, I think in every category we had like the top two were separated by like maybe a tenth of a point.
Wow.
So we felt as though it needed to be discussed.
Mm.
So I'm super excited. November 1st and 2nd, the Red Rose Film Festival in downtown Lancaster. I really think it's going to be something we're going to be proud of. And I think for people who love movies, I was really thinking of our audience, of our listeners, both of them. you know, are going to just go nuts for this film festival. I think it's going to be cool. I think it's going to be something you can be proud of. My hope is, here's my dream.
Yeah.
My hope is that one of your friends from Philly or Harrisburg or wherever says like, hey, I'm coming in Lancaster for that film festival.
Whoa. Penn thinks I have friends.
All right. Tell me some of them about Hawkeye.
Okay. So you know they're doing the show Hawkeye.
Yes.
And all these shows on Disney Plus are going to supposedly mix in with the movies. Well, they've preliminarily cast, I don't think it's totally secured, Haley Steinfeld. Steinfeld as Katie Bishop.
Oh, you got that one.
I got it.
You got it.
Katie Bishop.
Listeners, if you could have seen David's head trying to come up with that last name, he almost burst.
I almost called her Katie Hawkeye. But she is the new Hawkeye in which Hawkeye trains. Like, she's a teenager and he trains her to be the new Hawkeye.
So, but this is going to be on Disney Plus.
It'll be on Disney Plus, but it's... Think of it as the introduction of the character for her then to move into being in the movie.
See, this is what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Like, I should be really jerked that the whole thing is on Disney Plus, but I feel like Disney Plus is going to end up becoming sort of a launching pad for new movies.
Yeah.
New franchises. Like, I feel like this is going to be good for movies.
Right. I really like this idea because... A movie of training her is probably not that interesting, and if you stuck it at the beginning of another movie about her, it'd be kind of like, well, you have to give an hour to this storyline.
Or at least a 20-minute montage.
Right, and now they can just skip that over, and who knows what movie she just shows up in.
Right.
You know, and you'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really think that as long as they do it right and they keep the production values high and everything, it could be awesome.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on board. I'm on board. I'm trying to keep an open mind. I'm not trying. I have an open mind about Disney Plus. I think that this is creating a new set of interesting. Is it a paradigm shift? I think we're on the beginning of something new. I think in a few years we're going to see sort of a new world order.
Oh,
dope!
Like wrestling new world order from the 90s.
Speaking of wrestling, Tom Hanks will play an astronaut for Mattel's live-action Major Matt Mason movie. I don't know.
Do you know what this is?
No, I don't know.
Neither did I. Some really old toy line that I'd never heard of featuring an astronaut from Mattel, and Tom Hanks is going to play the character.
How much would you give me if I could come up with said astronaut right now?
If you could produce a toy of this action, I would give you your birthday gifts again.
All right, hold the phone.
Do you really have it?
I don't know.
Oh my word! He just went running off. He's gone. He's got a giant metal van.
There's his oxygen tank.
Yeah, is that really from him?
I think so. I think G.I. Joe's machine gun. His ladder to his spaceship.
This is not a van. This is a Winnebago.
A Winnebago. A giant Tonka Winnebago.
I will produce that.
A minute ago, you said you didn't know who he was.
I don't, but I know I had a toy astronaut.
And you think it's him?
Yeah. Because I never knew who the astronaut was.
This is where our audience finds out how many toys you have hidden around the office.
All right, I'm gonna have to come up with that another day.
All right,
I think I can come up with that astronaut.
All right, sorry for that diversion. You'll have to edit that down.
Yeah,
clean that up.
Clean it up. Yeah, I normally spend a lot of time doing that for you.
All right, podcast.
Yeah, this podcast
taking the shit on the road.
In the Winnebago?
Yeah. You know what we use that Winnebago for?
What?
When we do a special show, Christmas Vacation, and we do like hide the elf on a shelf, and Drew will dress the elf up as Cousin Eddie and put it on the Winnebago like the RV from Christmas Vacation.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All right, so the little housekeeping note here, the podcast, two events that I think we should discuss.
Okay, cool, cool, cool.
You tagged me, or did I, you tagged me.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. America. I got confirmation from Chayla herself, the owner of Zootropolis, that we are welcome to come and see this movie in her fine establishment.
Whoa.
I saw her today, and I was like, we're coming, and she was like, oh my God.
Please.
Brace yourselves.
Get ready.
Right. So what did we say, October 9th?
Is that, it's a one-day show.
Yeah. For she cut a special deal.
Oh.
She's getting it the day before it goes online.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So kudos to her for scoring that. And me and you are going to go see it on October 9th. And we'd love to have some listeners join us.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Big party.
It's going to be funny.
Right.
I mean, it looks funny.
Right.
So let's hope it turns out to be funny.
And
on
Saturday, November 2nd, we're still waiting on exact timing, but I'm thinking like afternoon, evening, or more like afternoon because there's the awards ceremony Saturday night.
Oh, my gosh.
November 2nd. In the afternoon, the Penn Cinema podcast will be downtown Lancaster. What's up?
What's up? Live show?
Live show. Filmmakers, ne'er-do-wells.
Gosh.
Yep. It's going to be insane.
Can they handle, like, do they have special soundproofing for our laughter? Or?
They're just going to have to live with it.
Loud and proud.
Loud and proud, baby. That's Pinkies us. Out. Pinkies What's up? so that's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully people will come by and see us.
I'm pumped.
We'll do some interviews, me too.
Yeah.
And we're going to station ourselves so that we're in the path of filmmakers.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
So,
speaking of filmmakers, it's been revealed that the fourth Matrix movie begins filming in February 2020 under the title Project Ice Cream. Now, when they announce what the project title, the name is, why not just call it the movie, right? Like, why still have a project name for it?
This goes back to our untitled Ben Affleck discussion.
Right.
It annoys the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Because in the worst case scenario, just call it Untitled Matrix Movie.
Right. But Project Ice Cream, in case you were concerned, in case you're out there in the world and you're looking for jobs on a movie, and you find, Project Ice Cream, they're hiring for this PA position.
You know what, though? Who's laughing now? Because we're sitting here like a couple of idiots talking about it, whereas if they had named it Untitled Matrix Movie 4, we wouldn't have had anything to talk about.
That's
and
true.
Here we now, we let the last 30 seconds discussing the stupidity of this title, but we're talking about it.
They gave us fuel.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Kudos to them. The Matrix lives. Or as Marley would assert, maybe it already did. And we're just echoes of our previous memories.
It's a reboot. The Matrix Reloaded.
All of this already happened.
You're blowing my mind, man.
It already happened. As we speak, the words that are coming out of my mouth have already been spoken. And they're just rattling around now. It's like a dying star. They were spoken.
Every time?
Is a million a years less? Ago.
Oh, come on, man. You're getting crazy. All right. So apparently there's this series or manga.
I'm on board.
Or something called Tank Girl.
Bring it. Tank Girl.
I don't even know what it's about.
Who cares?
But Margot Robbie wants to make this movie. Be in this movie. Produce this movie.
I love it.
Hey, cool.
Margot Robbie Tank Girl.
Yeah.
That's all I need.
Do you think she's a girl that turns into a tank?
No, I think she's a girl who drives a badass tank and blows stuff up.
Well, that could be. Or just a tank that's a female.
Right. Could be.
It's like Cars.
Right. Oh, God.
Big on record. Penn wants to see this movie.
And then it turns out, oh, God.
Yeah.
All right.
Speaking of Margot Robbie.
Yes. Suicide
Squad. The cast was revealed. Big old sheet of names laid out prominently, one would say. Now, they didn't say who anybody is. Couple repeat names from the last Suicide Squad. So I put out to you, I said, use this as a bingo board. bring this to the theater, and then when you get a full across, when they as they show up on the screen, I want you to be Bingo Suicide Squad.
What trailer is that where they go Bingo Bongo?
I don't know. I say that a lot.
Do you?
I can't remember what trailer it's from. How did you feel about this cast? You see anything that stood out to you?
Are we being honest, or should I think of something funny to say?
You mean you honestly don't have something funny to say?
The truth is, nothing about this poster excited me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited in general for Suicide Squad, but this cast list, and maybe I'm just not qualified enough to know all the actors and have opinions, and I'm certainly not qualified enough to name all the characters and sort of speculate about who might be who. So, with the absence of all that knowledge, the cast list really meant nothing to me, and I scrolled right past it. I was like, oh, okay, there's a bunch of actors, some of them I recognize, but whatever. Let's see some trailers. Let's see it.
Yeah, I was honestly the same, because especially since a lot of these guys are going to have either prosthetics or CG, like, you know, who's who? Who's what? Right. What does it matter? Right. Like, they could just be voice actors for all we know.
Right.
So, and half of them I didn't recognize. But to be fair, I usually don't keep names in the head very well. So, right. Yeah. But, all right. Well, hit me with something good.
Well, I mean, have we talked about Rambo?
Not yet, but it's coming.
Rambo opens next week.
Yeah.
This is Rambo Last Blood.
The Last Blood.
And I was talking to somebody in the lobby about this the other day, and I said, I'm really excited for it. Which I am.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's cool with Stallone. I don't really have a problem with him being old and wrapping up his, you know, sort of iconic characters. I loved how he handled the end of Rocky Balboa, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, Creed, you know. And eventually there's going to be a Creed movie where Rocky dies. And if I can be a betting man, I would say they already filmed it.
Ooh.
So that if Stallone gets hit by a truck tomorrow, they can include it in the next film.
Him getting hit by a truck.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> So far, I'm on board.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you're wrapping up Rocky Balboa. You're wrapping up John Rambo. Good for you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem with that. People are making fun of him and all this kind of stuff. So I said to this guy in the lobby the other day, I said, well, what other classic, iconic characters are there?
Yeah.
And we couldn't think of any because we were like, well, it's Rambo and Rocky. Because those are really the two franchises, right, that are sort of the massive big franchises.
Right.
Am I missing any? Like, I know we're about to report on two. So other than the two I'm about to report on, am I missing a big Rocky character that he should bring some closure to?
Well, not a massive one, but did he bring closure to Expendables?
Yeah, I don't know. And also, I don't count Expendables as...
It's not just him.
It's not just him. And like, I'm talking about a movie where the name of the movie is his character. Rambo. Rambo, Rocky, Creed. That's sort of his MO, right?
What about Demolition Man? No. What was the one where he was like, thawed out in the future?
Well, anyway, the news... The news reports that he is now in talks to bring Tango and Cash 2, and also in talks for a Cobra series. Now, in my opinion, Tango and Cash is what you would call a paycheck movie.
Yeah.
You know, you do the movie, you make a couple million bucks, and you move on. You know, not unlike some of the movies, like I just saw one today that's coming out, and I thought to myself, oh, that's a paycheck movie.
Right.
21 Bridges.
Mm.
Like, that's a paycheck movie. I'm sure it's a fine movie, but it's not going to be iconic. It's not going to be when they do his memoriam at the Oscars, they're not going to include 21 Bridges. So, anyway, I just have a little bit of a problem with Stallone. Like, enough. Tango and Cash? Come on.
He's coming back.
Are you going to get Kurt Russell, too?
He better.
Oh, my God.
He's coming. I think the thing is, he kind of did it with Expendables a little bit. It's like you come back,
right,
and you hit a high, and instead of being like, yeah, I came back and I did it, it's like, yeah, I came back, let's do some more.
I don't even have a problem with that with like Expendables,
Because that at least that's new content.
Right. But I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like yeah. with Creed. I mean, granted, Creed is definitely moving away from his character.
Right.
But in the same way, like, oh yeah, like I'm back, like I'm doing these things. Like yeah. it worked for Rocky. How about Rambo?
Right.
It's gonna work for Rambo. What other things do I have?
But see, it doesn't bother me for Rocky and Rambo because to me, those are iconic enough characters that deserve closure. Yeah. If you're able to bring closure, great, bring it. You know, but whatever. I'm not trying to spend the whole podcast talking about it. I'm just saying I thought it was stupid. Tango yeah. and Cash 2. Come on.
No, we don't need Tango and Cash 2.
No.
Yeah. Look, I have some news that's not going to affect anyone.
Then is it really news?
But apparently, I read it in like 4 or 5 different places.
Okay.
So you got Marvel, you got DC, right?
Got Marvel, yep. That's like Iron Man, Captain America.
Right.
Avengers. DC is Tank Girl.
I don't think so, but Batman, oh, right, Superman.
Right,
right. Joker. Wonder Woman, you know, and... There's another group of comics called Valiant Comics.
But if Tank Girl was going to get anywhere, it would definitely be a DC.
Yeah, yeah, it would definitely be a DC. Yeah, that's 100% sure. It's probably a Warner Brothers production. Right. Yeah. Valiant Comics.
Valiant Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, okay. So this is something Sony was running after. And Sony was going to come out with the Valiant Cinematic, Sony, you know, Idea Central. Over there. Right. And they were going to start it off. Great idea, Central. They're going to start it off with a character called Bloodshot, starring Vin Diesel. And he's like all about this. He's been talking it up. And then the second movie was supposed to be Harbinger, which is like an X-Men type group, right? Well, I'm sorry to tell you that Harbinger has been sold to Paramount. Thus ruining the Valiant Cinematic Universe for Sony.
You tell me Sony sold out?
I'm telling you, I don't know what happened, but for whatever reason, Sony's not doing it and Paramount picked
Sony
it up.
Made another strategic decision
yeah.
based on money.
Yeah.
All right, I have a few problems. You know what my problem
What's
is?
What's your problem,
Pat? Let me tell you my problem. It's time for our favorite fan segment. What's your problem?
With Penn.
Penn. I don't think there's a with in there.
See, it works as what's your problem with Penn or what's your problem with Penn?
With Penn. Yeah. Right. The line forms in the rear. Yeah.
It depends on how you read it.
Right, gotcha. First of all, yeah. you lost me at Vin Diesel. Podcast at PennCinema.com if you want to tell me, if you want to enlighten me as to why I'm being a snob and then, like, tell me why Vin Diesel's great.
Yeah.
Is there a reason to like Vin Diesel?
It's about family.
Oh, Christ.
I don't have an answer for you there.
My second problem, or my second part of the same problem is, yeah. I don't know what's worse. Sony allowing a potential cinematic universe to dissolve 5 minutes after they have the idea to do it.
Right.
And again, just for money. But second of all, Paramount. I mean, aren't we kind of sour on what Paramount did to Transformers?
Yeah.
Like, do we trust sure. them with a new body of content? I don't.
I barely trust them with
I mean, they
Star
did
Trek.
Right with Dora, but... Did they, though?
Did they? I mean, what?
I'm just going back through the list of movies that I've played from Dora in the last 12 months, and I can't – it's not a pretty list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like, yeah. So my problem with this piece of news is Vin Diesel and Paramount, and also I throw Sony in there because I just think that's – they have no strategic vision.
No, they don't. I don't –
It just shows you.
I don't
you,
know what they're thinking over there.
You know what? Here, let me put a totally different twist on this. They are acting like normal business people. They're acting like a normal studio. It shows you how admirable it is how Marvel has been handled by the people in charge of Marvel and by Disney.
How they care.
How they care, how they keep that together, how they, you know, how they, it's another sort of piece of evidence about how impressive it is. That the Marvel Cinematic Universe was able to be held together and be so successful and wonderful.
I feel like Sony looks at it like, oh, this is working for them. We want the same thing. Let's build this universe. But then at the same time, they're like, well, I mean, things are kind of down this quarter, and if we do this, we'll make money, and we'll make it back. So let's just do this thing here.
And I think that's more the normal studio business.
Yeah.
You know, and I do. I want to change my tone a little bit here. I don't think it's Sony and Paramount acting awful. I think it's Sony and Paramount acting normal and just another sort of nod to the MCU and how impressive that.
Yeah.
I don't know even what to call it, that accomplishment.
Well, just you wait till the crapshoot of the new Spider-Man universe comes. Then you'll be wrong.
All right.
Yeah.
When Amy and I went out to CinemaCon, back then it was called Show West. The year was 2004. We had no money. We had no company. We had nothing.
Yeah.
We had an idea about building a movie theater in Lititz.
Just two kids and a dream.
Literally. Yep. That's what it was. We couldn't afford to stay at Caesar's Palace or at the Bellagio, so we stayed across the street at Le Paris, the Paris place. And I was on top of cloud nine. I was in heaven because our room overlooked, you could see the Bellagio fountains from our room. So I felt like I had arrived.
Yeah.
But we were, you know, really, we didn't register for the convention because we couldn't afford it. We didn't go to any, you know, private events because we weren't on any lists. But we went through the trade show and pretended to be theater owners with a theater under construction. And every booth, we went to every single booth, and that's how we learned 90% of what we learned about how to run a movie theater. Because the guy would want to sell us, you know, a cash counting machine, and he would say, what do you do about your cash at the end of the night at your theaters? And I would say, what should we do about our cash at the end? And then he would turn around and tell us. And we had this incredible dream, and we went to every single booth. We went to the architect's booth and stole floor plans. I mean, we didn't steal them. They were giving them away. But, like, we just absorbed. We flew home with bags full of information, candy, junk. We just had the time of our lives.
Yeah.
And one of the guys that we had met over there who would end up becoming one of our best friends in the movie business, Gary Engold. And he ended up being the guy who sold us all our projectors, and he's still, you know, an incredibly important part of our business. Gary got us tickets to this event. He got our name on a list to go to this event, and we saw M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. We saw M. Night talk, and he gave the most passionate presentation I've ever heard about the theatrical experience.
Really?
Yes. It was unbelievable. And he was, I can't even try to sort of recreate what he said, but the message was basically, you have to believe in magic. You know, you got to believe. The magic is out there. He was promoting his new movie, which at the time was Lady in Water.
Okay.
Which I didn't really like. But the presentation that he put on that day was, I'll never forget it as long as I live. And it was all about the commitment to magic and the willingness to believe. And so when we had our groundbreaking ceremony 2 years later in Lititz, which in and of itself is a whole funny story, but we had two. One was a false start where we didn't actually break the ground, and the other was the actual. Anyway, we had a party at our house, and Amy made up a banner with a picture of me as a kid on it, and it said, you gotta believe. And then it had like a little nod to M. Night. So he's always been a special dude for us, for our family, because the odds of us getting this theater built were so long or whatever. Yeah. They were bad. Mm-hmm. Everywhere we went, people told us, you're never going to do it. It's not going to work, you know, blah, blah, blah. We called them the doubters and, you know, all that stuff. So that's a little sidebar to let you know how I feel when I see M. Night's name in the news.
Yeah.
So now I read today, moments ago, just about an hour before we recorded this 34th episode.
Oh my gosh.
M. Night has announced with Universal, in partnership with Universal Studios, who, by the way, they're not Disney, but they're certainly not Paramount or Sony. Universal pretty consistently gives us good content. And Sony does too, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Universal announced today with M. Night two thrillers that we can look forward to. M. Night is delivering, and apparently he's found a time of year he likes, because he's delivering a new thriller in February of 21 and another new thriller in February of 23. No news, like zero, on what the movie's going to be. But
interesting.
But I'm excited. I'm really excited. It feels like this is something he's organized. He has, you know, he knows what he's doing. He's excited about it. He's passionate about it. It was a it was him and Universal announcing it together.
Wow.
Seems like they're organized. And I bet you that's like, talk about reading tea leaves like way early. I bet you those are going to be, I just bet you those are going to be two good movies.
It's interesting that you that you bring this up, because it seems like this is almost an emerging trend for the production company to be like, hey, look, we got this director signed on for X amount of things.
Right.
All of a sudden. Like, where are movies going? What's happening? Well, doesn't matter. This guy you might like, he's with us. It's like,
right.
It's like, it's like a sports thing. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We're signing him for the season. So M. Night's with Universal for two films.
Right.
But J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot, $500 million deal with Warner Media to develop TV series, films, and digital content through the year 2024.
Love it.
That, I mean, Bad Robot does some really great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all sorts of stuff, too. It's not like anything specific. The only thing negative that I can remember recently was the third Cloverfield thing.
Yeah.
Was kind of a flop. But
it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think that was a forced thing. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
that was a paycheck movie.
Yeah, that was.
That was like when a band does a record deal for three records, and they have two brilliant records, but their contract requires them to record one more album. This was more of a problem back in the 70s and 80s when people actually made albums.
Right.
But
and Al what? Al who? Yeah. So I think that's really cool. I mean, for both guys.
Yeah, and I think to your point, this is a really interesting thing to point out when people talk about how Netflix and Hulu are ruining the movie business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, there's some of the best filmmakers in the world are committed to theatrical. There's room for everybody.
Yeah. Well, I think the Abrams thing is, you know, digital
all
content.
All of the above. Right,
yeah.
Right. Which is fine, too, because you know, I still think that the streaming issue is a short-term issue because it's not sustainable for companies like Netflix and Hulu and Apple Plus to keep. I mean, they can do it now to sell subscriptions and make waves, but it's just not viable in the long run. You can't keep making $500 million movies and then give them away for subscriptions.
Right, right. Wow. So... Did you watch this Jurassic Park thing that came out?
No.
Neither did I. I wanted to watch it before the show, but I want to bring it up. It's called Battle at Big Rock. It's a short film. I don't know if it's good or not, or bad. It's available online. You can watch it for free. But supposedly it's a short story that bridges the gap between Jurassic World 2, Fallen, whatever, Kingdom, and whatever the third one is that they're making. And it shows a glimpse into what the world is with dinosaurs running around in, like, modern time, people, places. People seem to like it. I don't know much more than that. So if you're into Jurassic Park and the new series, go check out Battle at Big Rock. Penn is super silent on this
one. Are we done?
He does not care one bit about this story.
Why should I?
I slaved over that.
Right,
note.
I know. It's almost a complete sentence, although you did not care enough to put a period at the end of your semi-complete sentence.
Yeah, or watch the thing it's about.
Or watch the thing it's about. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park is a great franchise, and it's great in the theater, big summer blockbuster, popcorn summer movie. But I can't get fired up about the character spinoffs and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, and the last one I just didn't. Yeah, whatever. All right, so I got two more things to go over, and then I got you got a big one to talk about. So the first is Venom 2 begins filming November 25th under the working title of Fillmore.
What's that about?
That I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of hoping they suffer Bondisms and everyone breaks their foot on set and it just never gets made. But whatever.
Oh my God.
Venom 2. It's a thing.
I the more you get upset about it, the more excited I am for Venom 2. I'm like getting giddy over it. I'm like, oh, this is going
to
be great.
It turns out to be good. And yeah. I'm like, damn it.
It's going
to
be like the movie of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr.
Wait. What are we saying about Venom 2? It begins filming.
It just begins filming.
Do we have a release date?
Well, no.
Early 2020?
Early 2020. They're going to churn it out in 3 months. Right. Why not? I mean, it's going to be crap anyway. So Robert Downey Jr., rumored to reprise his role as the late Tony Stark one more time in the upcoming Black Widow movie.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You know how we have trailer of the week?
Yeah.
Can we have news item of the week?
Do it. Hit me.
This is my news item of the week.
Yeah?
I don't know. Because I'm so excited. Like, it's stupid. It's not, it doesn't change the course of anything. But I just love that he's, you know, like one more time.
Yeah.
Because then you know there's going to be another one more time.
There's
going
to be another one more time. And this is a prequel movie, so why not?
Yeah. And I don't need to see a full on, I don't need another Iron Man movie. I know that time has passed.
Right.
And I know there's not going to be another Avengers, and I'm not even asking for one.
Yeah.
Because some things are just so special, you'll sort of love it, continue to digest it, and, you know, leave it alone. But I just love, like, the spirit of, it feels fun.
Right.
You know what I mean? It just feels fun.
I'm guessing this is a cameo as him as pre-Iron Man Tony Stark.
Oh, that's a good guess.
I bet that this has to do with her doing some sort of espionage mission and when she was not, because she was a bad guy, like when she was trained, and somehow he's involved in it. Like, or maybe she had to take him out or he was at an event or something.
Is this Black Widow's a sequel, right?
Black Widow is a prequel in that it takes place before Endgame.
Okay.
But we don't know what, because she's dead now.
Right.
So.
But I mean, there was a Black Widow movie yet or not?
No. There has not been a Black Widow movie.
Okay, so what I know about Black Widow, I learned from Avengers.
Right.
Or Captain America or one of those.
Yeah, from the other movies. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, that's cool. This is my news item of the week. I think that's cool. I think, and for no particular reason other than it's another example of how the people who are in charge of Marvel know how to have a little fun with their franchises.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mine would have been the Haley Steinfeld.
Really?
Bit. Yeah. I think that's cool that they're bringing in, like, it's not just like a no name who's or what's it that they could later on be like, no, they're not going to be in the movie. Like, it's like a bigger actress.
I figured you would have gone with the Face Off remake.
That was part of your birthday gift.
Okay, so why don't you walk us through this Hollywood Reporter news story?
Okay, so Hollywood Reporter and the Morning Consultant, they put out a survey of a sample size of only 2,200 people. So small group of people.
But I think legitimate enough to count.
Right.
I mean, if you wanted to go do a survey and you surveyed 22 people in Lititz, that wouldn't count.
Right.
But I think 2,200 people.
It's a decent amount.
It counts.
Yeah. So they found that 59% of the respondents preferred seeing only 1 to 3 trailers before a movie. And how does this reflect? I mean, 1 to 3 trailers, they're like, what?
Two and a half minutes,
right? Compared to some of the bigger chains that show upwards of 20 minutes of trailers before a movie.
Yeah. So is that normal?
The 20-minute thing?
Yeah.
I think at the chains, yeah.
Because that's what I'm under the impression that that's the normal course.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I've always taken great pride, and I'm glad to see somebody has validated our position. Penn Cinema has always taken great pride at, we run 4 trailers before a movie, and at least one of them, but usually 2 of them, run before the advertised start time. So in other words, a 7 o'clock movie, The trailer package starts 4 minutes before, 4 or 5 minutes before the 6:55, and the feature film starts 5 minutes after 7. You know what I mean? So there's 8 to 10 minutes of trailers. We run 4 trailers, and I'm a big fan of, like, everybody wants to see trailers, but nobody wants to see 20 minutes worth of trailers.
I think the day and ages have changed where trailers are so widely promoted and available online that it's like you don't need to sit through it at the theater. There was a time when it was like that was the only way you got to see them.
Right.
But I almost feel like also the trailers before a movie really need to be targeted to the audience that's seeing that movie.
Yeah,
and I think it's super important.
Yeah, we work pretty hard at Penn Cinema, and if you see an example to the contrary, it's always interesting to let me know. Of course, we had a massive—I screwed up and put the wrong—I put an R-rated trailer for Good Boys.
Oh, right.
In front of PG-13 Spider-Man, which caused quite the kaflooey.
Yeah.
But other than the occasional mistakes, I think we do a pretty good job of. Well, I guess what I want to say is that we take it seriously, and we think it's—I think it's important to have the right trailers on for the right movies.
Yeah.
And what I try to do, to aside from sort of the common sense pairing, is I also look at two criteria: is it a new trailer for a big movie that might be a long way out, but it's a big enough movie that it's exciting? Like I think we put the new Star Wars trailer on, you know. The Avengers or one of those movies this spring or this summer when Star Wars trailer came out. Or so a teaser trailer for a movie, but only if it's a good movie that everyone is aware of and wants to see 6 months from now. Or the other qualification would be like a movie that's coming out next week. You know, I will sometimes even put trailers on that are currently running just because, like, for example, if an audience is coming in to see faith-based movie like Overcomer, they might not be aware of Peanut Butter Falcon. You know, so I might put a Peanut Butter Falcon trailer on Overcomer, even though they're both currently playing in the theater. I don't think there's anything wrong with that strategy either.
Yeah.
I think it is an important marketing tool for the theater.
Yeah.
A lot of moviegoers like yourself are well aware of what's coming and what the trailers are, but there's also a pretty decent segment of moviegoers who really are not. You know, they came in for whatever reason. And now they're here, and I think it's important to show them, oh, this other cool movie that you might like is coming down the road. But I was excited to read this report because I felt like it really validated something that we've been taking seriously for 13 years.
Right.
You know, this is not news to us, and it's always nice when you see a strategy or a philosophy validated in the press.
Cool.
What's up?
What's up? All right, let's move on to trailers.
Hang on, I need a minute to get down off of my soapbox.
A cat again.
The damn cat.
All right, what do you want to start with this week?
Go right down the list, man.
All right, man. Let's start with the
light. I just want to say before we get down this.
Yeah.
I saw one of the best trailers I've seen in a long time, and I definitely saw the worst trailer that we've seen in 34 weeks. That might be a little bit of an overstatement, but it's close. I mean, once we get to it, I'm going to challenge you to remember a trailer that was worse than this one.
Yeah. I left it on because I was like, what? This is so bad.
This is the worst trailer we've ever seen in our lives.
Right.
But we'll get to it later.
Okay.
And when we get our revenge.
The Lighthouse, trailer 2. Just when you thought the other trailer wasn't crazy enough, cue in more crazy.
Batshit crazy.
Bad shit crazy. But I love this trailer.
Me too.
You made the note here. There's just the scene where they're just like, what? What? They're just wadding back and forth. And that's like 10 seconds of the trailer is just them yelling what at each other.
20 seconds. It's long.
It's long. And then it's like, fine, be that way. It's like, it's really going to dip into like how crazy these guys go out there at the lighthouse.
Is this going to be Oscar material? It should be.
I don't know. Maybe.
I'm not sure if it's that kind of movie, but I feel like I can't wait to see this movie. I'm going to go to the trade screening because I can't. I'm not going to be able to sit still.
Yeah, I was talking about this movie and we were like, I don't know if I'm going to go to this movie and go, that was a great movie, but I definitely were going to walk out going, that movie was an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, whether or not it's like, oh, that was the best movie I've ever seen, it'll definitely be one of those movies you talk about for having seen it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think the big question mark on this movie that remains is, what really is the story?
Right.
I still don't really understand the story. Like, for example, are there really two people, or is one of them hallucinating the other one?
Oh. Well, I think they definitely hallucinate like monsters.
Right.
Because you see like a giant squid.
Right. Unless it's just a giant squid.
Unless there is just a giant
I would also like to know where it takes place. I'm hoping it takes place in Maine.
It's like Texas. Like Dallas.
Kansas.
What?
Wait a minute.
That doesn't make any sense.
That's not adding up.
Yeah.
All right. The next trailer, Dr. Sleep. This is the final trailer, another Stephen King trailer. And I'm excited about Dr. Sleep, but I have to say this trailer, I'm not commenting on the quality of the trailer. The trailer was fine. But I don't know, something about this trailer sort of took it back a step for me. It made me one notch less excited about this movie because it didn't seem at The Shining is so terrifying and like creepy.
Yeah.
This seems a little bit more like a horror movie.
Yes, I will say exactly the same. This went from the first trailer made it seem like it was going to be equally as creepy as The Shining, but this is more like X-Men.
Right.
Creepy.
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, these people have powers. There are other people who have powers and they're coming for you.
Right.
Rather than, and the spirit stuff is just mixed in.
Right.
So I don't know.
What did you think? Were you more excited or less excited?
Probably less.
Yeah.
But more willing to see it.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie.
Because I don't like scary things. I think it looks less scary to me now, so I'm more prone to like want to see it.
Okay.
Yeah. Devil's Revenge.
Yes, David. Something you would like to share with the group?
This.
Hang on. I got to get my pinky out. Let me put my pinky back away.
Back away. This is, I don't know what the hell this is.
I tell you what this is. I know what this is.
What?
I'll tell you what this is.
Passion Project?
This is the worst trailer we've ever seen in our life.
It's so bad.
In 34 weeks, I've not seen a worse trailer.
And it stars like a million X-Men, or not X-Men, a million Star Trek alums.
And it's written by the Star Trek dude.
It's written by a guy who wrote a bunch of Star Trek.
Oh my
God. Next Generation.
Let me tell you.
What his name is.
I just got through judging 130 independent films for the Red Rose Film Festival.
Yeah.
125 of those films were better than this film.
Yeah, no, I would watch it. There was one I watched. I would watch this before I watched that again. But I'm not going to say which one. But this looks horrible. I don't know. The Shatner's in it. Jerry Ryan's in it. Some other people I can't remember that are definitely Star Trek alums. It was like the guy was like, I have this thing I've always wanted to do. What are you guys doing? Remember when I wrote those great things about Star Trek that you loved acting in? Why not try this?
Okay, that's one scenario.
Right? And they were like, yeah, I mean, I'm a big supporter of you. You're my friend. I'm going to come do this thing. Like, let's just have a good time. And if it's a big thing, it's a big thing.
I don't think
it's not a big thing.
I don't think it was that healthy.
No.
I would like to paint a different scenario.
Oh, paint this.
All right, here's how it actually went down. I think they were all out getting shit-faced one night. And they got all drunk and prank called Shat. And they were like, hey, Shat, remember that time we made that movie? And then Shat was like, let's make another movie. And they were like getting high and drinking. And they were like, yeah.
We have an idea for you.
Yeah. So then they like, what are you doing right now, man? And so then like they met at like a 24-hour donut shop and wrote out the screenplay like on the napkin.
Yeah.
And then the next morning while they were still hungover.
They filmed it.
Because there's no way any of those talented people in their right mind could make this movie. They had to be out of their minds.
Just watch the trailer and see how bad it is.
This has drugs and alcohol written all over it.
It really does. All right. Bring me into another trailer.
All right, now I got another.
A better trailer.
Okay, this better trailer, but relative.
Yeah.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah. Better trailer, maybe not a better movie.
Better trailer than the worst trailer we've ever seen. I will definitely say that. It was better than the worst trailer we've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. That, yeah, you painted a good picture.
Okay.
Here.
So, yeah. So, with that introduction, the next trailer we would like to discuss is called Countdown.
What's the premise of this movie, Penn?
Here's the thing with Countdown. The trailer for Devil's Revenge is so bad.
I know what's going on. Right?
I kind of recommend it.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, right? I mean, Gobble's sitting here at work. He's listening to the podcast. And I'm telling you, like, yeah, go ahead, open another window while we're chatting and pull up Devil's Revenge and watch it while you're still listening to the podcast.
At the same time.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah.
But the problem with the Countdown trailer is it's not even like it's good enough that like some teenagers are going to come see this movie.
Right.
And the trailer is good enough. It's good enough to not be awful. But like I tell you, the people who are listening to this podcast would probably want to make an argument that this trailer maybe is worse than Devil's Revenge.
It looks like a film.
The trailer itself.
It looks like a trailer for a movie.
But
whereas the Devil's Revenge looks like four scenes repeated over and over and over again. Right. Like, is there a full movie there? Or is it just like...
I got you.
It's just like... Right. Yeah.
So the Countdown is... It's not an entirely original premise, but it's pretty interesting. So the premise, it's a horror movie. And the premise is you put this app on your phone. It's like Jexy gone horror. You know? You put this app on the phone, and if you accept the terms and conditions of the app, you get a countdown. And that is counting down to when you die.
Yeah.
And at the beginning, when everybody's happy-go-lucky, they're like, oh, I got 63 years left. And the other guy's like, oh, I got 57 years left. Oh. And then this girl opens it up and she has 2 days. Now, with all the bad things that I've just said about this movie,
yeah,
I have to confess something to you.
Yeah?
I will 100% watch this movie. Or as Marley would say, hundo P watching this movie.
Yeah.
I think it looks cheesy. I don't think it looks especially good.
No.
But I'm kind of going to watch it because I kind of want to see how it plays out. The thing that was a little disappointing to me was there's what, a monster involved?
Maybe.
Yeah, I didn't really like that. I don't know what I would have liked in the absence of a monster. But
it could have been like I was expecting it to be more like Final Destination. Like
right.
Time runs out.
Right.
Something bad happens right then. But instead, time runs out. The girl's in the bathroom and she flies up into the ceiling and then falls down dead. Like, and then another one is like a lady sees like something in the mirror and she turns around and there's nothing there. And then it attacks her.
So anyway, the Countdown, not our trailer of the week.
No.
Now, my next trailer.
Okay. This is confusing.
I have a real problem with this.
Okay.
I don't like to do What's Your Problem with Penn segments twice in one episode, but we're gonna.
Oh my gosh.
This is the episode 34 where we have two What's Your Problem.
Yeah. So this is the trailer for Little Monsters. It's the Red Band trailer. Right?
Right. So I'm watching this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Red Band trailer with Nagoya. I think that's her name. Something like that.
Yeah,
and
Lupita and Nagoya, whatever.
I'm watching this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well done.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Red Band trailer, which I think is the second trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really entertaining trailer. The movie looks amazing. I'm sitting there watching it going, this could be my trailer of the week.
Horror comedy.
The trailer itself had its own laughs.
Yeah.
Because it's like... It goes from like space aliens, monsters, zombies, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then it freezes and plays like classical music. And they're like, and Academy Award nominee, you know.
Yeah.
It's like really funny. It makes fun of itself a little bit. But trailer looks amazing. Movie looks amazing. And then all of a sudden it gets to the final screen of the trailer.
Almost the final screen. Because I'm gonna follow up what you're going to say.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I thought it was the final screen. And it says... Coming out, select theaters, October 8th, which is like...
It's right around the corner.
A Friday or No, it's like a Wednesday. And then, yeah, it's a Wednesday. And then on Netflix on Friday.
Hulu.
Hulu. I'm sorry, Hulu on Saturday.
Yeah.
What kind of bullshit is that?
I watched this.
This, sir, is no Martin Scorsese film.
This is
a bait and switch.
This is definitely a bait and switch. Here's the thing. At no point up until now, did I hear that this was not a theatrical release film. I watched this trailer, and maybe we watched different cuts or whatever. I don't know. But the one I watched, it flashed the Hulu logo so quick. I was like, did I imagine that? Was that an ad that just like my ad blocker skipped? And then I rewound it, and I had trouble finding the frame where it said Hulu.
Yeah, I did too. I had to pause it so I could read it.
Yeah. It was that quick that the Hulu thing flashed up, and then it looked like just a regular thing. So afterwards, then I go online trying to find about, is this a Hulu film? And I wasn't able to find anywhere anyone talking about it being a streaming on-demand movie. It was all about how good the movie looks and all like the people in it and all that stuff. So I'm wondering if this is new news or if they're really hiding it that well, like that people just aren't picking up on it yet.
But why would they be hiding it?
I don't, for the same negative connotation that we get just like
expressed. But I mean, don't you want your people who are subscribing to Hulu to know it's coming?
I think what they want is people to think it's in the theater, forget about it, and then be like, Hulu has it, oh, and subscribe to Hulu.
Oh, gotcha.
And rush out and be like, I didn't realize it. I missed it. It was in theaters, and that's not in theaters anymore, not realizing it was only there for a day.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. The next one is my trailer of the week.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
What's your trailer of the week?
Lighthouse 2.
Lighthouse 2 was an amazing trailer.
Yeah. Ford versus Ferrari trailer 2. The tone difference between this and trailer 1, phenomenally different.
Yes.
Makes me question the tone of the entire movie. Because this is like kind of an Ocean's 11 fun. Like there, it's a historically driven film, but it's like this is more of like an Ocean's 11 like underdog story, kind of fun,
throwing wrenches at
quirky,
each other,
where the first trailer was like an underdog struggle film,
right?
And like it's going to be a lot of more drama, a lot slower paced,
no,
Seabiscuit style. But this, yeah, so I don't know which one's real. I mean, this one looked fun. I mean, the movie looks impressive cinematically. I don't know which tone is the real tone. What do you think?
I think I'm going to need to get a new car.
Clearly.
Although, it was funny because, I mean, I think, to answer your question, I think it's going to be a fun, fast-paced movie. Christian Bale looks amazing. Matt Damon looks amazing.
Yeah.
The scene where they get into a fist fight in front of the one guy's house and the wife comes out with a folding chair and sets up to watch the fight, like, you know, that's just brilliant. I love friends like that. You know, you gotta love stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. The movie looks amazing. I'm even more excited. This, you know, on the level of are you more excited or less excited, I'm way more excited, and I was already excited.
I'm definitely more excited than I was before. This looks more interesting than what the other trailer with Christian Bale talking to his son for like 5 minutes did.
Right. What's interesting, and I know this is a movie podcast, not a car show podcast.
What? Since when?
But I watched this trailer and immediately clicked on Ford.com.
And I was bought three cars.
It's time for me to buy a Mustang.
Oh.
You know about the Mustang story, right? I rented one on my honeymoon.
What?
Almost caused a divorce within 3 weeks of our marriage. That was when
you wanted one.
That was when the credit card bill came from the car from the car rental.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, that's a different story for a different day, but it was kind of funny. Anyway, so I clicked on Ford.com and like I was a little sad for them because there's no cars on their like I just watched this trailer.
Yeah.
All kinds of excited.
Yeah.
You know. Now, I watched two interesting things. If you're interested in buying a Mustang, there's a completely uninspiring series of Mustangs available for sale right now.
Okay.
And I was like, boy, Carroll Shelby, the legendary car designer, would be embarrassed at what's happening at Ford right now. But if you click on performance vehicles, you can get a Shelby GT for the cool price of $1.2 million.
Only?
Only. But if you wanted one, you're too late, because they're only making 45, and they've already taken 45 orders.
To Seinfeld.
Right. Probably to Leno.
Yeah. Leno.
Anyway.
Wow.
Ford v Ferrari, that's my trailer of the week. That comes out November 15th. Looking forward to that being a popular Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put that in Theater 10.
Oh.
So that there's – I think that's going to be in a movie that trends a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want them to have to listen to the soundtrack for Frozen, you know, through the whole
right.
you know, movie.
Right. Well, I mean, you could just bring a cassette player in with Frozen soundtrack and put it down right. up front during the whole right. movie, just in case anybody.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So what was going on here at the theater this weekend? Tell me about.
Pretty consistent with the national trends. It it holds strong as the number one movie.
Uh-huh.
Hustlers, just like I predicted. Overperformed itself and did really well.
So many people I talked to were interested in that movie, and I was just like, okay, like I did not expect it to perform.
I want to flex here for a second.
Oh,
I saw it coming. I told all our GMs,
yeah,
be ready. It's going to do better than you think it's going to do. I told Brad at Huntington Valley, you know, put it in a proper house.
Yeah.
You know, don't sleep on this movie. And sure enough, what's interesting about this movie, I think it's compelling because it's based on a true story. It's based on a popular book. We talked last week about some of the cast members, Cardi B and mm-hmm. Lizzo. I think this movie really says a lot about Jennifer Lopez's TV credibility. Her run on American Idol and some of the other TV shows that she's done in the last couple of years, I think she has a big audience. And I think as evidenced by the elderly people.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking about little old ladies coming out with their little old man husbands.
Because they're hustlers.
To see two tickets for Hustlers.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. They're not coming out to see strippers. They're coming out to see J-Lo.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the news. And, of course, Overcomer, the big faith-based movie, rock solid number 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we saw. Well, did you see?
You saw.
I saw.
I was working.
But ironically, if you wanted to see, you could have.
I could have. But here's the thing.
It's a long drive.
No, here's the thing. The keys for this were really tight.
So
I know we have some listeners who understand how things work. So I'm just telling you.
Okay.
Normally, for a 7 p.m. show, you have the keys unlocked all day. And a guy like me could come in the morning and watch a movie.
Right.
Right. Or even sometimes watch it later that night. So for the 7 p.m. sneak peek of Downton Abbey, the keys unlocked at 6 and relocked at 10.
Ooh.
I mean, they had this under tight wraps.
Right.
Very unusual.
But what I'm saying, because you went to ladies' night.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't?
No, we had a sound issue at our theater in Ephrata.
Oh, see, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Amy didn't correct me when I was like, he's over at ladies' night, like, like working it up. And she's like, yeah, there's a ladies' night. And I was like, okay.
Well, at the time that you had that conversation with her, that's exactly where she thought I was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I was going to be like, you could have just stayed.
Shout out to Brad and Jess in Huntington Valley, who put on the party of the year.
Was it awesome?
It was awesome.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's super cool. So Downton Abbey.
Tell me.
It opens this weekend. If you were lucky enough to see the sneak peek thing last week, it was great. I have a question. When it premieres, is it going to have that like little bit that was at the beginning of it? They should. It should have just been part of it.
Should I request permission to run that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think because I saw it with – I mean, I was in a group of people that saw it, but the two people that came with me – one, it had been a while since they watched the show, and they were like, that was a lot of information, but I liked that it was there.
Yeah.
The other one hadn't watched the show and had just thought the trailers looked really good and was like, well, now I know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I thought it was what, 5 to 10 minutes or something? I don't know.
9 minutes?
Yeah. And it was just a thing bringing you up to date of like the major players and what their storylines were and the different.
Yeah.
And it was very concise and it worked well. Anywho. Downton Abbey, the movie, I thought was fantastic. I thought it was one of those things where it was like Downton Abbey light.
Huh.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
Like, because, I mean, any, that's not a bad thing. But it was like a full season, or what it would have been a full season building up to, like a 2 or 3 episode part, like condensed into essentially 2 episodes. But it worked. At no point did I feel like anything was rushed. It was just like in my mind, I knew this scenario would have played out over a longer period of time in the show, or like one episode would have been like a 2 hour period of their day instead of like the whole day going by. I thought every character got like a little bit of time. Mr. Bates didn't get a whole lot of time, but like everyone got a decent amount of time. And no one felt like they were forgotten. Cause some of the loose ends were like all addressed. And people who kind of had their stuff tied up, they didn't spend a lot of time on. They focused on. So I thought it was good. At the same time, I don't think it was like super spectacular or anything. I don't think it was like, I don't know. To me, it felt like it could have just been a Christmas special.
I heard a lot of people talking at length about the costumes.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah. I mean, top notch. Everything. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
The acting is amazing. But at the same time, I guess I'm so used to seeing these guys on TV that it didn't feel like a block. Like, it didn't feel like a theatrical super thing.
I'm really curious to see how it's going to play out this coming weekend because it's Ad Astra, Rambo, and Downton Abbey are all projected to do something in the ballpark of $20 million.
Wow.
I think Downton Abbey does more.
Oh, I think it has this huge audience of people who don't normally come to the movies.
I mean, I put it on as many screens as I could possibly find.
Wow.
And I was even aggressive at getting rid of some titles this week, specifically in my back of my mind, making room for more shows at Downton Abbey.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's going to perform really well. Like I said, you might get some people it wasn't a spectacle.
Right.
But it still is exactly what you would want from what it is.
Well, and I always think that that's an important part of a good movie is that you get what you think you're going to get.
Yeah.
You want to get what you're expecting.
Right. Yeah. So if you're a fan of Downton Abbey, enjoy it. If you know someone who's a fan and wants you to come with, go. The person who came with me, they thought that you didn't need to see the show to enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
It was like, especially with the little thing at the beginning.
Right.
They felt like they could follow along. So.
All right.
Anyway. So moving on to listener notes and questions.
Hit me.
There was only really one this week. It was a slow week. Pirate Dave hit us up. And he was kind of coming at me for reporting on some Suicide Squad news that he said was old news. And I was like,
I love it.
I didn't even know how to handle it. But now it's even super old news because it was casting news, and now the cast is out there in the world. So what's Pirate Dave have to say about that, huh? Nothing. He can't argue. With the bingo, with the bingo. I want to know if he's playing Suicide Squad bingo. You know? So, all right. Let's move on. What are you looking at? What did you get into this week?
All right. Well, I had another and what would finally be my last week of one after another Red Rose Film Festival film selections. I'm watching shorts. I'm watching documentaries.
Right.
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Feature films, short feature films, good feature films, bad feature films.
So does this mean now that you're done with this?
Yes.
Does this mean that it's finally time for Le Dune?
Le Dune.
Le Dune?
Yes. Yes. I believe it is a perfect time of year to start digging into Le Dune. Last night, Kayla and I...
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wish I wrote in the show notes what we watched.
Yeah.
But I wish I hadn't because I would have liked you to guess. We were choosing between Juno and Meet the Parents.
Oh.
With Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Remember that time? Remember that time we couldn't remember Ben Stiller's name?
Someone brought that up to me today about how bad that was.
Ben, what's his name? I don't know. So we were choosing between Meet the Parents and Juno, and we picked Juno. And I'm really glad we did, because it was, she and I were just laughing our asses off.
That's, yeah.
It's like a beautiful, touching movie, and it's a little bit drama.
Yeah.
But it's funny as hell.
It's been so long since I've seen that.
It's really good. I highly recommend it to people who liked it the first time and maybe haven't seen it in a few years. I think we were on Hulu. We were on Hulu. Yeah. And
home of Little Monsters.
Upcoming Little Monsters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I feel like that movie's ruined for me.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just a movie that I saw advertised on Hulu, I'd probably watch it and enjoy it.
Right.
But now I'm like,
it's been a sham.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
You know, nobody.
Nobody does it.
Nobody likes to be tricked. Whether you're a theater owner or a theater goer, a movie fan, whatever, nobody likes to be tricked. Is this a Hulu movie or is this a theater movie?
Here's, speaking of tricks, something that we didn't talk about last week. You saw Joker.
Yes, I did.
I mean, don't anything, but like you said one sentence to me about this movie, and that's
right.
All I needed. And what was that? Do you remember?
I forget, because I remember obviously how I feel about it, but...
Penn said... All I let him say.
Oh, no, wait, I got it. a dark, dark masterpiece. Is that the one you were thinking of?
You said best movie. You said, no, best picture, best actor, hands down,
yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Give it to them now.
Give it to them now.
Don't even bother.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm pumped. I mean, I was pumped before, but like... I mean, it's not like you're easily amused, so...
I'm not... This... You're such an ass. Nobody even likes you.
Nobody likes to be tricked, man.
Nobody likes to be tricked. I'm really not supposed to comment about this movie.
Yeah.
So I will just say this. Yep. It is weird.
Okay.
If there's anybody still... They probably turned off this stupid podcast 20 minutes ago.
Well, they got your birthday gifts and they were done.
Right. But if there's anybody still listening, isn't it weird that we're sitting here on September 16th for one of the most anticipated movies of the year to open in 3 weeks?
Yeah.
And there's no tickets on sale, no word...
Oh, really?
No word about an on-sale date.
Wow. That's crazy.
I emailed Warner Brothers last week... Because I was like, I feel like I must have missed a memo. Because obviously tickets for the Joker must be on sale.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. I mean, I looked online. I don't see any on sale. And so I emailed Warner's again this morning, September 16th. And they're like, no word yet. We'll let you know as soon as we know. Isn't that weird?
Wow. That is very weird.
At first, I thought it was because they were waiting. They were doing like a page out of Disney's book where Disney doesn't like to promote a film while they're busy promoting an earlier film.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, Warner's is waiting for It Chapter 2 to open and get underway. Meanwhile, we've got the trailer for Joker playing on every single show of It.
So much hype.
And no tickets on sale.
I wonder what they're afraid of.
Are they afraid of something, or is it just sort of they're trying out a new marketing, like trying to build the hype?
That could be.
Well, it's kind of like...
The hype's already there.
It's kind of like the beginning of the show when we were talking about... what were we talking about? The Project Ice Cream.
Yeah.
Maybe. Where at first we were like, that's so stupid, but then we were like, well, we're sitting talking here talking about it.
Oh, that's true.
Same thing about
that's
Joker.
That's true.
And by the way, it's Joker.
Not the Joker. Right. My bad.
Yeah. Give him the Oscar now. Give him Best Picture, Best Director.
Don't even worry about it.
Don't even bother.
Wow.
Don't even have the ceremony.
Wow. Just forget the Oscars in general. Joker wins. Now, me, I had a movie week. Like, we have weeks.
I love it.
We have weeks to go by, and I'm like, I had to struggle to see the movie we were watching.
Right.
This week.
And I saw Arrested Development.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This week, I saw It again. I saw Downton Abbey. I saw Hobbs and Shaw again.
Nice.
And then at home, for the first time ever, I watched Disney's Hercules. I mean, totally different, but okay. I'd never seen it before.
Okay.
So movies abound.
Nice.
But on top of those things, I dipped in. We got recommended to us to listen to a podcast called Lore because of The Lighthouse.
Oh, yeah.
and I dipped back and I listened to Diamond Eye Derek gave us that recommendation.
What up, D?
And I listened to it, and it was pretty interesting. I don't like that podcast, but I thought the story was interesting about it. Kind of like things that happened in lighthouses, and specifically one guy had to stare at his dead buddy hanging out of his body was hanging off the side of the cliff, and he had to stare at it, and it kind of drove him a little crazy. Guy died,
right?
And he thought they didn't like each other, and he was like, if I don't get this body back for them when they come, and because he didn't have a boat, like they had to wait for people to come,
right?
If I don't bring this back, they're gonna think I killed him. They're not gonna believe that he died of these natural causes. So he built a coffin and then put it outside, because obviously you don't want to keep a dead body inside.
Everybody knows that.
Right. And then the waves came and crashed, and it was like towards the top of the lighthouse or whatever, and broke the coffin, and he got caught in wires hanging off
this
side.
This sounds awesome.
Right outside of the guy's window.
But this is a true story. It's not a movie.
Yeah, it's based off a true thing. The guy had to stare at his friend hanging there and then like kind of swaying. And for whatever reason, nobody came around for an overly long period of time. And then they found out that a bunch of boats were going to check on them more than once. And they saw a guy waving, and it was the body hanging there, swaying.
Oh my God.
And they thought that they were waving him away, so they didn't come. So this guy was like stuck staring at his decomposing friend or whatever, work coworker.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was pretty interesting. It was pretty short too, like 23
minutes. You get yourself into some interesting things, don't you?
Well, I'm an interesting guy.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, girl.
No one wants you to come back with no one likes to be tricked.
Right. No one likes to be tricked.
So, all right. What are we doing next week?
Well, I was just going to say, I have to see Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
I want to see Ad Astra.
Okay.
I still want to see Goldfinch, which opened last week. And Rambo. I actually want to see Rambo because I feel like this is going to be the end. And I grew up with Rambo.
So here's the deal. Is anything coming out the week after that?
No.
No.
Abominable, which I have no interest in seeing.
So we can do something this week, and then whatever the next week.
Okay.
So what do we want to do this week? What do you want to see? You want to see Ad Astra?
Ad Astra.
Okay, so we'll see Ad Astra this week.
I mean, I already said I want to see all three of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And we will. I mean, I've already seen one, so. Yeah. All right, then we'll do Rambo the following week, because I think it'll stay strong.
I have a big presentation Thursday night.
Yeah.
So I need to get ready for that.
Right.
But I see myself blowing it off in favor of watching movies. So as per usual, I'm probably going to just stand up there and wing it.
Yeah.
When I'll be like, well, I'm sorry.
I was going to prepare, but instead I watched movies all afternoon. Right.
Did you guys hear about the new Rambo movie?
Let me tell you about how that changed me.
I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Wow. All right. Well, once again for the Pensino Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Ben Ketchum. Take care and party on.